What's that? Nope, that was Sunday. What was that? Walking in love. That's right. Yeah, who said love? That's right. That's our Wednesday subject here. And we've been talking about it for 3 weeks. This will be the last week. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're just so blessed and privileged to hear your word, to have the teacher, the comforter here with us. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you're big in this service, that your hand of grace is just upon each hearer. We do not resist the wisdom of God. We do not resist the voice of the Holy Spirit. Father, we just thank you right now that you have your way. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Week number one, we talked about the law of love, how in actuality, when you stand before God in judgment, that you will stand being judged on the New Testament law, which is love. So a lot of us try not to do sin, but God wants us to be doing something, and that is love and loving your neighbor and doing those things. So it's a different mark. Sometimes people never realize that, but that's our true measurement, the law of love. Last week, we looked at what it really looks like to walk the walk of love. And a lot of that had to do with people who are maybe sinners, people not in the church, people who are users and abusers, and people who are out in your life, and how we're to handle them and how we're to answer those situations with love. And and there's a scripture here I want to show you. It's Romans 5:5. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." The thing I love about this scripture is that God asks us to walk a radical love walk. He asks us to love people who are unlovely and to do things that sometimes are hard. But this scripture shows me that he has put his love, the very love of God, inside of my heart by the Holy Ghost. So I know that I've been given the stuff that allows me to do what God asks me to do. Sometimes we say, "Oh, God, that's too hard. You don't understand. I can't do that." Well, God has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us himself. Right here it says his very love, the love of God, is shed abroad in our hearts. So we can walk in the love of God. We can love like God loves. We can do that. We just have to yield ourselves to it. Love that scripture. Think it's great. You also need to remind yourself of that scripture when it might seem hard to do that. Well, week three, I'm going to talk about love in the church. That's kind of the subject that we haven't talked about yet. And honestly, you guys, ladies and gentlemen, I could talk about this for weeks and weeks and weeks. We could take one little nugget and just unpack it as it pertains to life in the church. But we have 1 week, so I'm going to go down a certain route here. You just follow me, go along for the ride, and let's just hopefully the Holy Ghost speaks to us as far as that goes. This is just the way it came out. But Jesus says this in John 13:35, "By this all men shall know you are my disciples, if you have love to one another." Love one to another. Jesus is basically saying people are going to know that you're a Christian, because when they look at you and they look how you interact with your brothers and sisters, they're going to see a love bond between you, a family love bond that is just so real and so compassionate and so giving that they're going to know you're a Christian. Last night, I was visiting someone in the hospital, and they had a pulmonary specialist come in. That's someone who checks on your breathing. And they checked him out and everything. And this person was really happy and chipper. And they overheard that we were talking about the things of God. And they go, "Oh, you guys talking about the things of God? I'm a Christian too." And it's like, "Oh, wow, praise God." He said, "Yeah, people, when I come in there and I go to do their breathing and stuff like that, a lot of people say, 'Are you a Christian?'" They say that to me. And they must see it on me or something. And we're like, "Yeah, you're filled with life and joy, and, you know, you can just tell." And Jesus said that people should know that we're his disciples because of the love he sees between us. Now, in church, there's sometimes, you know, sometimes we don't see the love of God and things like that, and that's not good, okay? So the first thing I want to talk about really when it comes to the church is discerning God's body. And if we look here at 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members," just talking about your body, the real body you have, arms and legs. "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Now jump to 25 and 26. "That there should be no schism in the body, but that all the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." Now, in this 1 Corinthians passage, he talks about that we are actually a body of Christ. And I think it's real important that we discern that first. Before we talk about love, we have to realize what actually we've become in the Spirit, okay? The Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church. And the head of the church physically right now is sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, okay? Jesus actually said, you know what? It is better that I go away and leave you to sit on the right hand side of God in heaven, that I may send you the Holy Spirit, okay? So the Bible calls us the body of Christ. So we're not separated from Jesus. So even though he physically sits in heaven, he is still the head and we are still the body, and we are vitally united in one piece. And all of us make up his pieces. So if you want to see Jesus in the earth still, some people like Jesus went away, Jesus is in heaven. Well, actually, no, you're the Jesus they can see. You are the body of Christ. You're not the body of a denomination. You're not the body of something else. You are literally the body of Christ. And if Jesus is going to do something in this earth, and he is going to do it, he's going to do it through you. His arms, his legs, his mouth, he'll do it through you because we're his body. Now, being a body, it says we're many members made up into one. Mario, can you go back where it talks about the Jews and the Gentiles? It says, "Whether they be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit." In the body of Christ, there is diversity. There are those who had the covenant like the Jews, and there were those who did not have the covenant like the Gentiles, but we all came in under Christ. There are those who are slaves, and there are those who are free, but we're all the body of Christ. So there is a great diversity in the body of Christ, but literally in the Spirit, we are a living organism. We are a living, breathing, filled with the Holy Ghost person. Okay, of Christ. And when we come together, we make up a whole. It is a special thing. It's a supernatural thing. It's an awesome thing. And it would be great if we discerned each other after that spiritual part, that we truly are brothers and sisters. So listen, I've had family in the past who haven't followed Christ. So I've given my life to Jesus, and they didn't give their life to Jesus, and they were living outside of the covenants of God, outside of his salvation. And in the Spirit, I was closer to my church family because of this than I was to my actual brothers and sisters who I grew up with in the same family. Because they're my family after the flesh. Yeah, we might share some DNA and we might share some history together, but in the Spirit, we are not one. But in the church, we are one. We literally have become one body. And to me, that is awesome. And you need to discern that. And you need to know each other after the Spirit. The Bible says, "Don't know no man after the flesh, but to know him after the Spirit." That we have to live and deal with each other on that level. So with that said, what the church is not a club. It's not the Rotary Club, where we put on a fuzzy hat and say funny rituals. And, you know, this is not a club. This is a body, a living, breathing, Holy Spirit anointed organism. It's Christ in the earth. We are not a political party. Even though we might all agree on certain political issues and we might say certain things are morally right and wrong, but we're not a political body. We're a living body. We're Christ. We're not a business referral center to come and to further your business stuff. Okay, all these things happen in church. Okay, it isn't a place where a guy is sick of finding trashy women in the club, so he comes to church to find a good girl. We're not the find the good girl club. This is a living organism, okay? So check this out. There was this guy who came to church, and he was here when he was younger, and hadn't seen him in a long time. And I was like, oh, man, where you been? How, you know, I was just so happy to see him, that he was back, and he was sitting in church. He sat in the service. He had on a little tie and everything, looking good. And I was talking to him in the hall afterwards. You know, where you been? What's been going on? You still living? Yeah, I'm still living local, this and that. And I, you know, he was a fellow member of the body, so I'm trying to connect spiritually. You know? Like, you know, are you coming back to church? What's the deal? You pressing into Christ? What's up? And he's kind of looking beyond me while we're talking. Looking, right? And I'm just like, you know, what's this dude all about, you know? So he's just like, yeah, yeah. And he's like looking. And then in a little while, he says, I have some business cards and stuff for a business. You mind if I put them over there and leave them there? So I don't like that stuff. So I realized that he was only here to see if he could pick up clients for what he was, insurance or something like that, okay? Just so you know, I don't like that stuff because it's preying on the body of Christ. See, in the body, we are sometimes gullible to a fault. We always believe the best of everyone. We always want to help. We always believe everyone is totally sincere and stuff like that. So when I see that, it to me, it's like wolves preying on sheep. I don't like it. So I'm like, hey, that's cool. Yeah, second you leave this door, your cards are gone. Because you're not discerning the body of Christ. You're not here to be a blessing. You're not here to grow in the things of God. Someone probably told you, hey, listen, you're in insurance now. Reach out to your family, your friends, your church. Go to your synagogue. You know, try to grow your stuff. But I don't like that, okay, because they're not discerning the body of Christ. We are a living, breathing organism that is supposed to love and care for each other. And to me, that's more predatory than it is caring. So I have another little story. I was in Oklahoma in 1989, and I went down there for a camp meeting. It was a week-long series of meetings, and it was awesome. So before the camp meeting began, we were invited over to a friend's house that we knew who had moved to Oklahoma, and they wanted to have some fellowship. They wanted, you know, come, we're going to have a barbecue, and you get together. And that's awesome. Isn't it great getting together with other Christians? Because when you get together with other Christians, you talk the word, you encourage each other, iron sharpens iron. And it's really, sometimes when you live in the world and you're always getting bombarded, getting together with other fellow believers in the body is sometimes a very edifying thing. To me, I love it. It's great, okay? So we go to this get-together in this other state. And, you know, the hamburgers are cooking out in the back and, you know, people, the chip and dip is out and, you know, we're all gathering around. We're starting to talk. And then all of a sudden someone says, attention, attention. We have a man here who has come and we're going to ask everyone now to come out in the back patio and sit in some chairs and he has a presentation for you. And I was just like, what? You know, what's this all about? You know, so I kind of like, you know, I was only like 19 at the time, so I'm just like, you know, looking out, and he says, hey, I'm Bob, and I'm from Amway, and I want to tell you guys about Amway and how you could be rich. And it just turned me off so much. I was like, this is a bait and switch. I thought we were going to edify each other, the body in love. I thought we were going to build each other up, you know what I mean? I thought we were going to go ahead and share the word with each other, sharpen each other. And this is like a Amway meeting. I don't know if you know what Amway is, but look it up, okay? So I was just a punk after that. I was just like, I'm not coming out of the house. I don't care. I do not like this. This is the body of Christ. Why did this turn into an Amway meeting? So do you see how we can take the things that are holy and then we can add things and then they become profane or they become polluted or whatever, and you know, they probably didn't have bad intention. But to me, don't mess with the body of Christ. Don't mess with the people of God. Don't take advantage of them, because they really, Christians are gullible and they believe stuff. And they've gotten in trouble because of it before. One of the things I love about our growth groups is they are a time of the body coming together and encouraging each other on the word. What I love about it, when I was born again, I was 18 when I was born again, I could be with another Christian from any generation and immediately have a connection. So I could be speaking to a 72-year-old Christian, and when we were talking the word and talking about the goodness of God, all age barriers left. We immediately had that connection in the spirit and love, and I thought that was so great. And it didn't care what our cultural background was, you know, what country we came from or what side of town we came from, because when we come together in Christ and when love is present, it is just such an awesome atmosphere. And to mess with that and to break that sometimes is not good. I love that about our growth groups. It's multi-generational, multicultural, all made perfect in love. Amen. Let me talk real quick about need in the church. Need in the church is when someone amongst our body has a need, okay? the need could be a financial need, the need could be a health need, the need could, you know, it's just a need that someone in our body has. One of the things that is not good, okay, and then I'll explain, okay, is when someone within our body or someone shows up at church or something comes to you and says, can you pay for my, and they ask you to meet their need, okay? People do that. People do that. But the problem is the Bible always says that he's the meter of needs and that our requests and our things for supply need to go this way. And when a person begins to go this way and horizontally starts to look for you to meet their needs, they're out of order with the spiritual order of how things go. So God says, you're to ask me to meet your needs. You're to live within my things of provision. So when people go and they're looking for you to be their provider, that's actually sin before God. And for you to take part in that, you just got to be careful. And I know we're compassionate and we do those things. So for you, you know, I'm probably not going to be able to meet my rent this week. And I'm just letting you know, because you have a nice suit. Okay? And you look like you might be able to do something. And you know how the Bible says we're to love one another? Yeah. See, people are not always trying to manipulate. They're not trying to be bad. But when they look for you to be their need meter, they've gotten out of order with how God wants to do it, okay? So you have to be careful with that. It can turn into spiritual manipulation. And Christians, man, we feel guilty about everything. So if someone comes up and they're like, I am not going to be able to go to church, feed my children, feed my cat, send my offering to Africa unless you give me some money. We're like, oh my goodness. Like, I am, you know, you feel terrible. And we're the Bible says we are to be motivated by love, not by guilt. So if your giving is always out of guilt and, oh, you know, I feel bad if I don't give, that is not motivation by the Holy Spirit, okay? That's motivation by guilt, and that's fleshly. And that manipulation or that level is on the horizontal level, but God wants it to go the other way. Let me read a scripture to you here, and this is what's proper. 1 John 3:17 says this, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? The thing I love about this scripture is it puts the responsibility on us. If we see someone and they can't meet their rent, or they're in a financial situation and you learn about it, or you know their kids aren't fed well or their kids aren't clothed, and you have money to make a difference in that, well, now the responsibility falls on you. Where is your compassion? How compassionate are you if you can let someone go off, okay, without their need met, and you know you could do something to meet that. So the thing is they're not saying, you give me the money. What you're doing is you're feeling responsible as a part of this body to be someone who blesses and is a blesser and a giver in the body. It's a different perspective. You're the one who's now responsible for it, okay? Not people pulling on you and guilt causing it to happen. Oftentimes people come and go to church and they don't care about the people around them. They don't care about those needs. Tune your ears open, listen, have a heart that's open to people, you know, things that are going on. Some things can be really simple but have huge impact to people, okay? A couple summers ago, maybe 4 or 5, we had some like 100 plus days for a couple of weeks at a time, just really a real hot spell, and it was really humid. And there was someone in our church who was complaining that even when they opened all their windows and turned on all the fans, they were still roasting in their apartment. And I was just like, I have like 2 old air conditioners in my shed. I said, I didn't say give, okay, because I'm thinking of the future too. I said, I want you to take one of my air conditioners, no, 2, whatever you want to do, and I want you to throw it in your window, and when the season's over, you can give it back to me, and if you need it next year, whatever. If not, then I'll go ahead and lend it out to someone else. To me, the second I heard that, I was like, I could supply that need. And it's not even a big deal. I'm not using it. Like, I have a house right now that has central air. That's a unit that, so I have these old air conditioners sitting in my shed doing nothing. So in the meantime, a family member on her side, same thing, roasting. Another young couple in church, 3rd floor, roasting. Just lend out your air conditioner. So there, if you're aware, you can be a blessing. Okay, can you go back to that scripture? It says, if someone else has enough money to live well and sees a brother and sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Honestly, how can you not lend out your air conditioner if God's love really lives in you? You can't not do it. Because love gives. They're going to know we're disciples by the love we give to each other. Amen? So, but Christians are made to feel guilty, and sometimes the motivation goes the other way. Every couple of years, it happened a few times, okay? The first time this happened, I wasn't in church. It was a Wednesday night. I don't remember why I wasn't in church, but maybe you can remind me. So a person comes into the church. It's a Wednesday night. The pastors weren't there. Okay, so there was another person preaching. This person in the middle of the service, probably about right now, comes in. Okay, so they weren't there for the beginning, didn't hear the whatever. They come and they sit down in the back. And while the person was talking, talk, preach, they raise their hand. Excuse me, can I say something? And they go, yeah, sure, come on up. So they said, listen, I'm supposed to see my dying mother or something, and they live in another state, and I only have like $5, and I need $120 for a bus ticket, and they start giving this huge emotional story in front of the church, in the middle of the sermon, okay? And the person who was doing it was just like, oh my goodness, everyone, no, and they said, and I'm a churchgoer too. They said, I go to church in this other state. And they're like, oh my goodness, everyone, open up your wallets now. We are going to take an offering. And they did. They took an offering. And this person, how much did they make? Do you know? It was like double what they had. They had extra things. They were praying on them. You go and bring healing to the home and this and that or whatever. And so anyways, they send them on their way. It was a scam, you guys. This person was seen later in town just walking around town. They just know if they, huh? Oh, yeah, we had a bus driver who worked for Bat Bus, and this person would just get on his bus, you know. What they do is they come in and they play off the gullibleness of Christians. They tell a story, and then, you know, we fall for it. So, you know, discernment as Christians, you have the Holy Spirit, okay? So we're to see needs and fill those needs. You should be doing that. That's where the love of God is. But when people are pulling, have some discernment, know, and just say, okay, Holy Spirit, is this of God or whatever? So it could be a different person, but that I was preaching on a Wednesday night just like this. Around this time, someone comes in late and sits in the back, and they raise their hand. And I'm just like, no. I wasn't there for the first one, but that didn't seem right to me. Something was wrong. I'd like to say something. At the end, you can talk to me alone, okay? I'd like to address the congregation. No, you're not gonna. Okay, let's say they did. Some people might believe it, some might not. It creates a schism. They want to give. The others say, no, you're so mean, you're not giving, you know, whatever. So I called them up front. It was like the same story, just a different state, a different amount of money, a different bus company. It was the same story. And we're like, no, we're not giving you anything, and we need to pray for you, okay? What are you really all about? What's up? What's going on? And it didn't go that well. But, you know, when you lie, you have to lie to lie to lie to cover your lies, and it was just really bad. But it was like, no, stay here. Let's pray with them. Ushers, come around. Let's pray. And we just kind of surrounded them. It's just like, I don't know. I don't like that spirit that would come and pray on the sheep. And it happens, and it happens, and it happens, okay? But as Christians, we're all sheep, and we should be looking and loving and caring for one another. We should be looking and living in love for one another. What we really should be is when someone has a need, we should be God's answer to their prayer. They should be like, God, I gave my tithe. It was only 50 cents. You know, I only had $5. I gave my tithe. I believe you. I believe your word. I believe you meet my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. As they go this way with their request, God uses us to come back this way. So we have now become the answer to God's prayer. We're God's instrument. It's not out of compulsion, but it's out of love. Let me read some scriptures to you as we wind down here. 1 Peter 1:22 says this, you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. 1 John 3:14, if we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life, but a person who has no love is still dead. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We are the body. As we come together as a body, the Bible says that we are to edify. This body should be edifying itself in love. And we should seek those opportunities to love one another. If you've found that in your Christian walk that you've only been a receiver or a taker, someone who's always just looking to get, you haven't really walked in the love of God. That should be in place in our body. Okay? You might not have a lot to give, but our goal should to be the giver, the blesser, the carer, the one who is the giver, okay? It doesn't matter how much you have to give, it's a hard attitude. And sometimes in Christianity, in our youngness, in our immaturity, we're just, oh God, I'm believing God, someone will give me something. I'm believing that you'll do something for me. I'll come to church and someone will have a word for me. Someone will have a blessing for me. Honestly, love comes to church and says, how can I be a blessing to someone else? How can I give to someone else? How can I edify someone? How can I lift them up? How can I encourage them? Sometimes I find with some people, they're just so beat down that all they need is just encouragement. Someone who's like, you know what? You can do it. You're a blessing. I don't know if you can see your gifts and talents, but they are so obvious to me. You just need to go for it. Enough of this fear stuff. Just go for it. God wants to bless you. And just that encouragement causes someone to go ahead and break out of where they've been. Okay? It's so important. So our goal in being around each other should to be edify each other in love, to build up one another in love. Okay? Let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. God, your word is true. Father, I thank you that tonight we discern your word, that we discern your spirit. Holy Spirit, you are the God of love. God is love. And that same spirit abides in us. It has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Thank you so much for that, Father. Thank you for your love. Because we have everything we need to love like God loves. We have everything we need to be givers, not users, not abusers, not manipulators, Father God, but people who truly love and give and do what they can do in their situation to show the love of God, to build each other up. God, I do pray for our body, our congregation here at Living Word, that we would abound even more and more in love. As the Bible says, that we would grow more in love. And the only way we can do that, Father, is to know you and to walk in the Spirit. But, Father, I pray it that you would do that in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Did you have some closing stuff that you had? Yeah, do the Connect card. Come on up. Okay, everyone, Connect card on your seat.